You're listening to Off the Record on 103.2 Dublin City FM. I'm now joined by Mr. Joe Echo. Joe, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks so much for joining us on the phone there. So you have quite a wealth of a background in terms of names of people you've worked with, which we'll chat about in a bit, from like Madonna and your, you know, sort of same stage as Paul McCartney. You've worked with Paul Oakenfold and William Orbit. So how did you first get into music?
Well, I come from a very rural area in County Derry in Northern Ireland, and there wasn't a lot to do, to be honest, but I suppose I just, from a young age, was exposed to a lot of traditional, I put 12 or 13, got into rock music and bought myself my first guitar, and, you know, and from there, just messed about with a few friends trying to get bands and stuff off the ground, and but I suppose I started taking it really serious when I was about 18, 19, and I went to study music and in a sort of like a hippie college where it was all very much a case of, you know, being involved with like-minded people, you know, from all over the UK, really, you know, writing and recording and doing gigs and organising gigs and, you know, really the nitty-gritty of rock and roll.
And was the college in Derry or was that over in the, like, mainland UK?
No, it was in Bangor, County Down. But it was an amazing place for me. There's a lot of talented people that was even in my class that went on to become, you know, Nathan Connolly from Snow Patrol was in my class. And, you know, various other guys that went on to compose music for films and teachers and you know, that type of thing. So it was a really creative place to be, and it was the first grounding in real music for, you know, I learned so much in just getting to listen to other players and getting to listen to people who were into different music that I had never heard of before.
Yeah. And what would you say then, like I said, obviously you've worked with a lot of big names, and we'll get on to it in a little bit. I know you're also working on your own debut album at the moment, but what would you say was like your first break? How did you kind of make that step into working with some of the bigger names?
Well, I think, you know, from a young age, I believed that I needed help, and I got sent out loads of demos to management companies, really, more than anything. And I was probably about 19, 20 when I first signed my first management deal, and I was with a New York company. And long story short, they were going out, and we signed a record deal. And I was in a band at that time called Leia, and, you know, we returned with you know, big bands like your Snow Patrols and Scissor Sisters and Ash and Embrace and all these sort of big bands. But, you know, it never really clicked for the band as in a big way. We played a lot of big bands. We played a lot of big festivals and gigs. And, you know, but I then got myself a British manager based in London who basically is still with me, has been with me now 6 years. And we, you know, when the band split up, I was very much a case of that. I didn't want to become out and just another singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I love singer-songwriters, I am one.
Don't want to write them off there.
Yeah. I just didn't want to be that guy standing all the time. Just that's all I did, was out there with my acoustic guitar, like me against the world. So I said there and then I wanted to do music for Fulham. I wanted to co-write with bands and DJs and production companies and just get myself thrown into situations where I wasn't really that comfortable but really wanted to try out things. Mm-hmm. And that's where my luck really changed. And that's where, you know, Paul Oakenfold discovered me. And I done a lot of stuff for Paul on different albums, just singing and co-writing for stuff. And the first real break for me was a track that I wrote. Was in one of Oakenfold's albums that went to number one in America in the dance charts.
Yeah.
And that was amazing for me. And, you know, 6 months later, the Madonna thing happened, and that came through Oakenfold as well.
You co-wrote the track Celebration, and then, that was for her greatest hits, and it went on to be nominated for a Grammy, of all things, eh?
Yeah, you know, it's fairy tale stuff, you know. You know, if anyone had known me, I'd been knocking about a long time and really trying to make something happen with music. And I suppose that's, you know, a lot of younger songwriters are coming through now, and they're asking me,
where's the magic door, you know?
Don't give up. Nothing's going to come to you and fall in your lap. You just got to keep going, you know?
And that's an interesting turn as well to go writing for film, because it's, would you say, I was going to ask you about that actually, because we're going to have a chat in a minute about the Killing Bono film, but having written, you know, music as it were, and then songs for films, is there a big difference there for you, or would you see it all as the same kind of thing?
Well, there is a difference, you know, but I sort of fell into it naturally enough. A song is a song, regardless of what style it's in. You know, it's a chordal progression with melody and lyrics, and that's the bottom basics of it. And you can call it what you want in different styles, jazz, funk, blues, heavy metal, whatever, but
yeah.
A song is a song. And, you know, the Killing Bono soundtrack is different in ways because I was asked to write one song for these guys, and, you know, they very much didn't know what they wanted, but they knew they needed someone to, you know, and try out various different styles. And this is how I really got the job, where they basically said to me, try one in the style of Iggy Pop, and I would write that, and they would go, yeah, we like that. That might work for that scene. And they would say, write me a song in the style of Flock of Seagulls or The Police or
right.
U2. And, you know, and I would write all these songs in different styles and put them forward, and they would go, yeah or nay. And before I knew it, I've eight songs on the film. And,
that must have been quite interesting, though, them, you know, to say, first off, say, for example, like you said, go and, you know, write this in style of Iggy Pop. How did you go about that? Did you go off and listen to a bit of say, Iggy Pop stuff and then come up with something, or...?
Yeah, it was very much a case of listening to stuff and using that as a reference, you know, like... The difference between me now and what I was 5-6 years ago as a writer is that I'm not only a writer now, I'm more into production and basically that's the only difference between film and when you're doing your own album, you produce it in a certain style, you know, be it in rock or pop or whatever. But, you know, sitting down to, you know, it's like, it's back to what I said, a song is a song, you know, but the Iggy pop stuff's all very punky and rough and ready and at full attitude and stuff. So, you know, it's very easy. That came natural to me. You know, other styles didn't really come natural. Like, I had to write one that was sort of in a reggae style, which I'd never done before.
Well, I suppose, though, in terms of if you look at it like what you're doing as your job, it's nice to have a flavour of something different going on.
Well, that's the beauty of it. I have to say I really enjoyed the Killing Bono process because... not only as a songwriter, but I was involved in the production of the record and the soundtrack, and working with the actors and bringing them in, putting them through their paces, as you know, where all the actors sang their parts in these here, and I obviously produced the record, and then I was on set for 2 months basically working with them, because there's so much music in the movie,
yeah,
you know,
sort of
the rock band going through all these different styles, and you know you're working with the actors, you get to know them, and you get the best out of them, and you know, we watch some footage and go, I want you to pull that move there. So it's almost a choreography as well, you know.
I'd say some of your girlfriends will be after Robert Sheehan's number as well, eh?
I know Robbie well. He's such a great lad. He came and stayed with me up here and give him a few guitar lessons.
Don't tell them that. They'll all be running up to Derry now, you know. So.
He's a legend. He's such a funny guy.
Now, when somebody came to you, I suppose, maybe I'm presuming you didn't maybe know what the film was about initially when they came to you and told you we'd like you to write music for a film called Killing Bono. Did that concern you at all?
Not at all. You know, the first thing they did for me was said, look, the movie, at that time it wasn't called Killing Bono. They didn't know what they were going to call it.
Okay.
I knew it was going to be based on the book I was Bono's doppelganger, and so they gave me the script and they said, read that and let me know what you think, and then we'll talk about styles and where we're going with the music and you know, so, but I think the title's fantastic, I think, you know, and the beautiful thing about it is that Bono came up with the title himself,
and he said they've actually got involved and done put forward a few of their own songs as well, I believe.
That's right, there's a well-known song, still haven't found what I'm looking for, but there's an unreleased, well, it's an old demo song that U2 wrote before they were even called U2. They used to be called The Hype.
This
song was played at the very first gig in their school, and, you know, it's a very sort of punky adolescent tune, and we had to produce that and for that scene in the movie, and I'm glad to say that you two have saw the movie and give it the thumbs up. So I was a wee bit worried about that, you know.
It's all Joe Echo's fault, you know. But to go on to a bit of your own work then, I'm surprised after all this work you've been doing with, you know, from Madonna to the Killing Bono film to Paul Oakenfold, you're actually just on, you know, your own debut album at the moment. You're hoping it'll be out sometime 2011 anyway, I believe.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the last couple of years I've been gigging and finding my own sound as an artist, and you know, obviously the film and the co-writing and stuff for soundtracks have taken up a lot of time, but it's taken me a while. You know, I had a great year last year as far as gigging goes and finding the sound of what I want to be like, and, you know, it's very much, it is almost like classic rock with a sort of dance-orientated songs in there as well, sort of blending between the two. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the album is almost finished. We're probably, once Killing Bono is out of the way and out there, and there's a soundtrack obviously coming out with Killing Bono, and I've got to promote that.
Yeah.
I probably summertime, the Joe Echo album will make an appearance.
As well. You looking forward to doing that, something that's, like, totally your own name then?
Yeah, very much so.
Are you a bit apprehensive because you don't have anybody else to kind of, you know, up there with you?
Well, not necessarily, because I do go out and when I'm doing live stuff, I do go out with bands and with in various stages. Could be just a drummer and a bass player, could be a full on with horns and all the rest, or could just be by myself with a loop station or you know, a guitar or piano. So, but you know, I love gigging live, and there's nothing like it. And, you know, even if I never, you know, rocket up the charts with my own stuff, I still love going out there on that stage. And, and there's nothing like it. You know,
well, I suppose in a similar sort of career, well, doing, you know, slightly different stuff. Badly Drawn Boy is quite a good example. He's done work with films as well, and then his own stuff. And you know, he wouldn't be hear about him loads, but he's quite successful at the same time.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's definitely an influence for me. You know, there's loads of people there that, you know, I've been heavily influenced by, people in my own, you know, own area. David Holmes in particular, he's worked with so many great soundtracks, but he's still out there DJing and being involved with live music. And that's, you know, there's no reason why you can't be. I think years ago, everyone liked to pigeonhole artists, and, you know, you had to be a rock star, or you had to be a pop diva or whatever. But, you know, when you look at people like Bjork and stuff, who just are out there doing stuff in any different style, with an orchestra one day, with a full-on dance production the next, and doing stuff for movies, it's a wee bit arty-farty, you know.
Yeah. So would you say there's a bit of a pop diva in you there somewhere?
Yeah, I've got a serious ego.
That's it. But just before we go there, I just wanted to ask you, were you, I think you performed, did you support Paul McCartney last year? Would that be right?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest highlight of the year.
I was going to say, that must have been, what was that phone call like, or email, or...
It's one of those things where you just, someone phones you up and goes, yeah, we've got your slot on Killing Bono, or we've got your slot with Paul McCartney in Hyde Park in London, and you're going, what?
Selling, you know, hot dogs?
Selling hot dogs, yeah. And you get free ice cream as well.
Yeah, very good.
No, it was amazing. It was a dream come true, and you're hanging out backstage with Dave Gilmore from Pink Floyd, and Crosby, Stills and Nash are there, and Crowded House, and you're just going, it's as good as it gets.
Yeah, that well, hopefully when your own album's out, you'll be out touring with the similar people again. So the album, you hope, is going to be out a little later this year. Have you got a date for it?
Not yet. Probably will aim for July, that sort of time, summertime.
Okay, and the Killing Bono soundtrack's due out soon as well.
Yeah, Killing Bono, the premiere is in Dublin on the 15th of March, and the release, general release in cinema with the soundtrack, is the 1st of April.
1st of April, lovely stuff. And I suppose if people want to check out more about yourself, the best place is probably www.joeecho.com.
That's the one.
That's great. Well, Joe, thanks for joining us on the programme this evening, and best of luck with the album and Killing Bono, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
We're now going to take a track from Joe Echo. This is Sink Your Teeth In.